The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
The day after. Well, welcome back. In case you were just getting on board, let's continue with more phone calls here. And Ken is in New Mexico. Hello, Ken.
Hey, Paul. Always an honor and a pleasure for me to talk to you. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you so much.
I could sure feel, you know, what the Georgia fans felt last night. I was at the stadium in 98 when Tennessee won, and all the years, you know, combined that you finally get to shake that off. But I think the main thing I want to talk about, the big question to me, you know, a minute 10 to go, Bama's first and 10 on the Georgia 45. I'm not going to say panic, but I question some of that play calling going deep. They had all their timeouts. They could have worked underneath some more, I thought. What did you have that feeling, or did
I agree.
You think what they did was good?
I mean, I understand with Bryce Young, you know you're going to, you know, hit some shots, but they also knew who the receivers were, and I know they tried that a lot with Brian Robinson. I mean, they could just never get him going. I thought that was a big point. I think Griffith mentioned it, but that the Georgia, the 63-yard run, though, that was maybe the most unexpected thing I saw in the entire game, because Alabama's defense had played so well up until that point.
I kind of agree with that. I wonder if, you know, the totally bizarre play of the one, whether his arm was going forward and then the Bama just picking the ball up, that seemed to inspire Georgia.
It was bewildering, because that was so close to being the death knell. And, I mean, at that moment in time, you felt like it was slipping away from Georgia. It had slipped away from Georgia. And then Alabama finally scored. But it was one of those cases where, to Georgia's credit, they had so much energy in that fourth quarter. I mean, they there was a lot of mood swings in that game. But ultimately, Alabama's just inability to take advantage of things. And after all that, they still had a chance to win the game until the dam broke.
Yeah, I agree. It resembled a bit the A&M game, where Alabama had to settle for a lot of field goals instead of punching it in early. But, you know, give credit to Georgia's defense.
Yeah, I mean, you're playing the best defense in the country. We shouldn't expect it to be easy, because it's not going to be. Hey, thank you so much for the call. Michelle is up next. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. First of all, I want to say I've been a Georgia fan since I was basically born, and I was lucky enough to go to and graduate from the University of Georgia. And I was 7 when we won the first national championship in 1980. And so this meant more than I think a lot of people can imagine, waiting 41 years for this.
It's a long time.
It was just when we got the pick six, and that's when I started crying. And
there are a lot of people in Alabama crying too, Michelle.
But I don't think, I mean, I know the players, and I laugh at myself a lot of times getting so emotional over a game, but I don't think they even understand how much it means to those of us in the SEC, and especially in the state of Georgia, being let down so many times in our history. But that last night was just amazing for us, and it meant so much, and I hope these players understand what they did for us.
Well, I think they
and
do.
Kirby
and
Smart.
And, you know, I think, you know, we talk about Alabama so much, and I will tell you, I've covered all their championships, and I remember the first one by Saban and one or two. But I mean, if you put me on a rapid fire, I'd have a hard time differentiating one between two and three. This is not hard to differentiate. If you're a Georgia fan, you remember, just like the guy mentioned from Arizona, the Tennessee championship. That's what makes these so special, because they should be precious. They should be like rare art. You don't see them very often. And I think, we have, because there's been so many runs in sports, the Patriots, the Warriors, the Lakers, we just get almost inoculated to greatness, and it's hard to do. I felt that a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, in fact, with LSU at the Superdome and Georgia last night. And I think that's a little bit of what Alabama fans have forgotten that. I remember being there in 92 when Alabama had not won in, at that time, 12 years. And then here comes another 25-year drought. And, that drive out of the Rose Bowl in 2009 after that season was – I'll never forget that as long as I live. Just like many will never forget last night. Georgia can win – 5 more national championships under Kirby Smart, but it's unlikely it will have the meaning of last night. Pam is up next. Hey, Pam.
Hey, bye, Mom. How are you today?
I am well. Thank you.
Hey, I just it took me 30-something calls to get through to you, but I heard somebody say a while ago the Alabama fans didn't show up, and I was going to let you know we are here, we are listening, and we do know how it feels because we've been there, and it's special. You should celebrate and enjoy it. We love our players. We love everything they do. We love Saban no matter what. But congratulations to Georgia. You're far overdue.
Hey, thank you very much, Pam. And, Alabama fans have shown up tonight. Not the only thing I'm saying is the ones that have talked the most haven't showed up. Alabama fans are great. William is in Birmingham. Hello, William.
Hey, Paul. Long-time listener. First-time caller here.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, as a Alabama grad, I'd like to say congrats to Georgia. What a spectacular showing by Bennett. Really something to behold there. My call is really for your buddy Ray, called in earlier. Ray, I thought it was pretty cute that you rattled off your three natties. But while I was in school, I witnessed three national championships myself in the span of 5 years. So enjoy your... Enjoy your
that
first
is funny.
One in 41 years, buddy. That's pretty awesome.
That's a good response. You know, William, I've told this story before, but I'll never forget. I think it was the first national championship that Saban had. I was sitting next to a couple of students on the plane and going out to the Rose Bowl. And I don't know if that was your tenure or not, but I said to these, it was a young guy and his girlfriend. I said, you guys need to enjoy this because you may never get back here again. It's hard to believe how stupid that statement was to them. Like this 8-year-old I ran into on the plane this morning, who his father was joking about not being alive when Georgia last won a national championship. He said, my son's already seen it. He only had to wait 8 years.
Exactly. Exactly, Paul.
So, hey, thanks for the
Ray,
call.
Congrats to you, buddy.
You
what a game. But,
that is funny. That is really cool. Let's talk to Kyle in Athens, Georgia. Hello, Kyle.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing, buddy?
Kyle, we're all doing great. Thank you.
I called you last year, and I told you Stetson Bennett. He didn't win the Heisman, but he got us a national championship this year. So, I just want your intake on that. I mean, he was a underdog, no doubt about it. But what do you think he did that no other quarterback in the Power Five could do?
Well, I think let's start with how smart he is. Ultimately, I mean, you. I was talking to Tebow about this last night. Now, again, he's one of the great athletes in SEC history. You know, he said he was motivated by the trash talk, by the doubters. Stetson Bennett, I think, was too. Now, being able to pull it off are two different things. And we all act like we believe. You know, you may have, but a lot of people didn't believe in him because there was reason not to believe in him. And if we could replay the program on the Monday night after the SEC championship, there are a lot of Georgia fans who were demanding JT to come in. And I think ultimately Kirby knew. Whether he needed to make that change or not, he couldn't. And I don't know all the reasons. I've heard some of them. It doesn't matter. But Stetson Bennett is a Disney movie. I mean, what he did last night,
that's right,
will be taught forever. And I'm not, I mean, Stetson Bennett, I mean, I would love to have the rights to his book, because it is going to be a motivational book that every 8, 10, 15, 18-year-old kid in America is going to read and be inspired by. Hey, thank you so much for the call. We're heading to a break. We still have plenty of time left, and we will take your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are now Tuesday night, and great to have all of you with us here. It's been a fun show. I mentioned some callers wouldn't call in tonight. We heard from Legend. He's about the only regular who have been trashing Georgia for months and extolling Alabama's virtues to have called in. Let's see if we can double that number right now with Joe from Red Bay.
Roll, Ty, roll, Paul. And you know what? I'm in a good state today. I am. I mean, because for one thing, Georgia didn't beat us. They've never beat us. I mean, they probably won't win another in their lifetime if it takes them 41, 42 years to do it. I mean, we're taking players out of the game. You know, we're playing true freshmen. But, hey, those true freshmen, they're pretty good ball players. I mean, Bama's going to be a force to be reckoned with down the road. And one thing I do know, we're the best team in the SEC.
Hey, Joe, I'm sorry. I don't know. Maybe your TV was fuzzy last night. But where I sat, Georgia did beat you. And, you know, only did they beat you, they pummeled you in the fourth quarter when it really matters.
Well, I mean, they, you know.
And Joe, I don't want to hear this, but if you're keeping score, that in the last three national championship games, do you know what Alabama's record is?
Well, I mean,
it's 1-2, Joe. That's not good.
Well, hey, I take a national title every 3 years. I mean, that's, you know, this is all
you
year
lost
for
by,
us.
You, know, you lost by, 20, SEC, you lost by 28 year. 3 years ago. You won last year, won by 28, and you lost by 15 this time around. I mean, how can you say how can you say that about Georgia? I mean, they were the better team. You know that. You're smart. I was about to say you're smart know that.
Paul, we played them twice, and we outscored them by 2 points. I mean, and their offense actually did worse this game than they did in the SEC title game.
Joe, let me ask you this. Will there be a parade in Tuscaloosa this weekend? Will there be 90,000 people at Sanford Stadium, at Bryant-Denny Stadium, celebrating the SEC championship? Or will that party be going on in Athens?
Well, now you're talking about something now that's out of my control. But George, I mean, like that last score Georgia had, that's like a puppy running in the backyard with a, you know, a tennis ball. It's hard to catch that. But I mean, their offense didn't score, but you know, that many points on their defense. And it's just their offense. When you start losing your two best receivers, you know, I'm not making excuses, but that does make a difference when your target is, you know, is off the field.
You're not making excuses. What are you talking about, Joe? I mean, come on, Joe. Why can't you just admit, hey, we got stomped in the fourth quarter. We lost to a better team. Will you repeat after me, Joe? Humor me, Joe. Just say, I will repeat after you, okay?
I'll repeat after you, Paul, Then Georgia wins.
Joe, remember back in class, Mother May I and all that? I'm going to say, we
got
our
asses.
Beat last night.
Not beat. But I did say beat. I put beat in there.
Oh, man.
The one Joe, thing I come say, Paul, that,
Joe,
thank you
we got to move
it.
On. I'm sorry. I gave you a chance to repeat after me, and you wouldn't do it. Kathy is up next in Georgia. Hey, Kathy.
Hi, Paul. I just wanted to say I'm glad you made it back from national championship. I want everybody to know when they're going to bet, they need to listen to Baby Reese because she picked the winner.
When Laura told me what Baby Reese was going to do, I said, man, she shouldn't have done it. But Baby Reese showed up everybody on that show last night.
Exactly. She did. But for Legend and Handsome Joe, they need to get over it because it did happen. We did beat them. I'm worried about poor old Larry if he needs a defibrillator or he drank so much.
I'm worried about Larry too.
Poor old Jerome. But yeah,
Jerome was the guy that I think of all. I mean, I'll say it again. Legend showed up tonight. His call may have been.
I heard that.
But Jerome is not man enough to call in this show.
Mm-hmm. True. I believe that too. I felt happy for Miss Cindy. I cried because I was thinking of her watching the game without her spouse. But you know, it's time we earned it, and Legend just needs to step down, kiss our ring. He's not the king. I'm the queen, and go Dawgs.
Thank you. Now I don't know how old Kathy is. She sounded like she's seen some football, but when Kathy from Georgia tells Legend to kiss our rings, we have come full circle. That is amazing. Let's go to Bama Slammer. This ought to be good.
Oh, what's going on, man?
Hey, Bama.
Man, brother, first time caller, long time listener.
Okay.
I have been listening to Legend, Jim, Joe, all them jokers for years. Can we just have a moment of silence for the Sons of Saban?
how long do we more than we will do that? The dynasty's not dead. It's just taking a year off.
Hey, absolutely, and Kirby's going to have our boys ready next year too. I just want to say, Paul, have you barked yet? I know one of your callers asked if you would bark like a dog for us.
Now, Bama, I will, but just help me understand. I mean, I can go rough, bark, bark. I mean, what are you looking for here?
No, Paul, we got to go down, stick him!
I think I need a little more, I need to be a little, I'm right now I'm only two sheets to the wind. I think I need to be about eight or nine before I can do that.
Tell you what, Paul, here's your concoction. Get you a little bit of fire, now a little bit of Dr. Pepper, a lot of bit of Fireball, and then you can bark like the best of them. Paul, appreciate you taking my call. Go Noles, baby. One more year. Let's do it again next year, Bills.
I have to say, I know everyone hasn't been entertained by the callers today. I have. Zach is in Georgia. Hey, Zach.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Listen, Paul, I just want some clarification here about UGA saying they've won three national championships, because they won claim one in 1942. And I say the NCAA website, and they claim Ohio won in 42. But also, I don't know if you're a student of history, Paul, like I am.
I am, yeah.
But it seems to me like most of America's young men were busy in 1942 to like 45. And so I don't know if anybody really needs to be claiming that.
Yeah, 1942 was a pretty busy year. I'll see if I can trust my memory, but wasn't Pearl Harbor December 7th, 1941?
Yes.
So that means, I'm not laughing, because my dad was part of this, but we were at war, and I have never heard of the Georgia National Championship in 42 taken legitimately, but maybe a lot of things did happen back then, but yeah, the Pacific Theater was well underway.
Yeah, was it a bunch of asthmatics with flat feet running around on the football field while everybody else was off fighting for war?
I don't know, and I don't want to take any national championships away from Georgia, but I'm going to check myself, because I'm a little concerned that I let somebody slip that one by me. So let me 1942 national champ. Well, hold on a second. Ohio State and Georgia were crowned national champ. Georgia won the Rose Bowl, and Ohio State won some other bowl. So it is legitimate. Let's not say it's not.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, I'm a Notre Dame fan, and I know they claim 43, but I just think we should just strike all those. 44 and 45 go to Army. I feel like that's fair. But all the rest of them, we just need to put a Barry Bonds-sized asterisk by them.
Well, Georgia, I spoke too soon. Georgia has every right to claim. Georgia was number one in the country at most of the year. Oh, Georgia did lose to Auburn late in the year. How about that? Listen, I will leave that to the experts, okay?
All right. Thanks, Paul. Thanks for taking.
Thank you very much. And I thank all the historians out there. We probably don't need to spend too much time debating the Georgia 1942 national champ. We know they won in 80, and I can guarantee you they won last night. We thank you for being a part of this segment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome all of you back. Great to have you with us. And let's go to Brad in Destin. Hey, Brad.
How you doing, Paul? Have you thawed out yet?
I tell you what, when I walked out of that place late yesterday and that wind chill and that wind of about 25 to 30 miles an hour went below zero, I'm thinking there is not enough money anywhere in the world to make me want to live up north.
Well, it was 12 degrees this morning when we left.
So, yeah, and by the way, that's okay on a calm day and when the sun's out, you can survive it if you're. But that lake wind, which by the way, I didn't even see a lake while I was there. It just felt like being on Lake Michigan.
Channel one.
Yeah.
Channel two.
What I was.
Yeah, are you still there, Brad?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here.
I don't know. Something went off there.
What I'm going to say is, I think a lot of people are confusing excuses and reasons. A lot of people talk about making excuses and all that. Injuries are part of the game, whether you like it or not. Injuries are part of the game, and it happens to everybody. I didn't hear anybody, and I'm a huge Alabama fan. By far, the best team won last night.
Oh yeah,
wouldn't you agree with that? And
without a doubt, and you know, Alabama. I mean, you can legitimately say they. You know, I mean, the final score shaved. You know, had Alabama marched down the field and had a shot, I think it might have been a little more palatable. But you know, people wake up and go, "Man, that wasn't much of a game."
Yeah. Well, the what people I think are failing to realize on special teams, there were three huge plays, and a lot of times it boils down to special teams. You'll remember when we kicked off, we kicked the ball out of bounds.
Right.
That gave Georgia the ball at the 35-yard line. And as precious as yardage was in that game, those 10 yards made a difference. Obviously, they blocked the field goal. And then something else is when they punted down deep in the deep in.
Oh, that was a big deal. You're right.
At the 3-yard line.
That was
scary.
But
the other thing I was going to ask you, a real quick trivia question. What do Steven Garcia, Johnny Manziel, Cam Newton, Stetson Bennett, all of those have in common? They all played the games of their life.
Yeah, exactly.
To beat Alabama. And I think if you go back and look at all the wins, that's not an excuse. I mean, they outplayed. And if you'll go back, Tim Tebow, same way, you know, played a.
You know, something also that I think somebody mentioned it earlier, but all three Georgia touchdowns were by freshmen in the fourth quarter. Freshmen.
Yes. That was unreal. And the other thing where I was going to correct you real quick, I think you said in 1957 that that Shug Jordan won the national title at Auburn.
Did I say that?
And I thought you said you were naming off the coaches that won at their alma mater.
Well, yeah, right. And, yeah, should've. Yeah, I mean, Shug went to Georgia, didn't he?
That's right. He did.
I don't know what I was meaning, because that was one of the great parts, because everybody at one time I think two different times, the AD at Georgia played at Auburn, and the AD at Auburn played at Georgia.
That's correct. And Coach Dooley, you know, went to Auburn, and Coach Jordan went to went to Georgia.
And there was another, and this may be, but this is way before my time. But Joel Eaves, I think, did the reverse of that too.
That's correct. That is totally correct. But
I said one other thing that wasn't true, and I should have. Georgia was not playing for the national championship in 1981. Clemson was playing Nebraska, and because Georgia had lost to Clemson that year, if I remember.
That is, I think you're correct.
Now,
now
the 82 game when they lost to Penn State, that was for the national championship.
That is correct. That's correct. But you know, as an Alabama alum, my hat is off to Georgia. You know, they had the most consistent team all year. They deserve the national championship. And, you know, as they say, you know, getting to the top of the mountain and staying up there is two different things. It's going to, you know, it'll be tough, but my hat's off to them.
Well, I'm glad to hear from you. Thank you very, very much.
Okay, buddy.
Good to hear from you. Debbie is in Connecticut. Hey, Debbie.
Hey, how are you doing, Paul? It's good to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
If you are doing half as well as Bulldog Nation, it's got to be great. This win feels so awesome, and I can't tell you how great it was as a person in Connecticut, because people all over appreciate football, but no one gets the SEC like we do. And here in Connecticut, they don't quite get it. But to hear L. Duncan talk about our team and permission to talk about our mess, that was just so fabulous.
Yeah, I'm never one that wants to over-promote something, but the L. Duncan interview may have been one of the craziest ones we've ever had. I hope people can go back, that missed it, can go back and listen.
Well, she says what we are thinking and feeling. I feel like she reached down my throat, grabbed all the sentiment from my heart, and gave it out in that interview. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that felt that way.
No, because, and by the way, I understand. I mean, there is a decorum that goes on, and we all are part of the same family. And, you know, I'm sitting here, my bosses are hoping that I can conduct business politely. But every once in a while, you just get a little bit tired of the diplomacy, and you want to hear the truth. And she spit it out.
And it's just such a great moment in Bulldog Nation. It's been a long time coming. I was a 1986 grad. I'm a high school counselor here in Connecticut. I never, ever, ever stopped talking about how much I love my Bulldogs. And it was just so exciting to be able to talk about it today and share that win with everybody. It's awesome.
What part of Connecticut do you live in, Debbie?
I'm sort of over in the western part of the state, kind of by Danbury.
Oh, okay.
And actually,
sure.
Paul, I had a chance to say hello to you at the SEC Championship.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yep. And I'm glad you mentioned that. And I feel terrible because usually when we're in a stadium like we were in Atlanta and in Dallas and last night, I normally am able to go over. But, I mean, and I'm not apologizing or making an excuse, but we are under very, because of COVID, we're under very strict guidelines. And they are telling us not to move, not to go anywhere. So I know a lot of people last night were by our set and wanted to talk, and they just wouldn't let us do it. So I do apologize.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, I got a picture with you, and I'm really grateful for that. And just this whole year, oh my God, it's just amazing.
Well, enjoy it. It's long overdue and much deserved. And Debbie, thank you. I've always really admired Kirby, and to watch him grow from an assistant to a coordinator to now the head coach of a national champion has been spectacular to see. Let's check in with Mike, who is in Virginia. Hey, Mike, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We're doing great, thank you.
Calling on a little disappointment here, but it's all good. Just glad the SEC team won this game. Of course, I'm a Bama fan.
Sure.
So, anyhow, with that being said, I got a question. You picked Alabama to win. Can you tell me why you picked them to win?
No, I refuse to.
Why? Come on.
I did not have what I would call a great feeling about it, but I probably overanalyzed on the side of Nick Saban and Bryce Young and didn't look at what we really all knew in Atlanta, and that was that Georgia was a better team. I think the psychological part of it was definitely weighed heavily. Hey, thank you for the call. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.